Hi, and welcome to Women CEO in Reflection, a podcast dedicated to personal growth and mental health discussions with women CEOs across the globe. It's here where inspired women get candid about what drives them to succeed and the personal challenges they've encountered on their path to success. So if you're a woman on a mission, this is the podcast you don't want to miss. So sit back, relax, and let's get candid. Hi, and welcome to Women CEO in Reflection. I'm your host, Marisa Jones, and I'm joined by my co-host, Neil Haley. Today's guest is someone you absolutely need to have on in your team if you have a tween or a teen. Clarissa Constantine's passion started as a test prep coach, helping thousands of kids globally get into college and grad school. When a friend with a teen cried to her and said, "I just wish I had other parents to talk to," Clarissa took the initiative and founded the Parent Tween Connection, dedicated to supporting families and helping them connect better with tweens and teens, supporting families and helping them.
Go for it.
Hi, welcome to Women CEO in Reflection. I'm your host, Marisa Jones, and we're joined by my co-host, Neil Haley. Today's guest is someone you absolutely have to have on your team if you have a tween or a teen. Clarissa Constantine's passion started as a test prep coach, helping thousands of kids globally get into college and grad school. When a friend with a teen cried to her and said, "I just wish I had other parents to talk to," Clarissa took the initiative and founded the Parent-Tween Connection, dedicated to supporting families and helping them connect better with tweens and teens. Welcome to the show, Clarissa.
Thank you, Marisa. I'm so glad to be here.
It's so great to have you here. So tell me a little bit more about your journey and how you started this foundation, this organization.
Sure. So like you said in the intro, I've been an SAT and ACT coach, as well as a grad school test or admissions exam coach since 1999. So I've got almost 2.5 decades under my belt, but I always kind of knew that there was something more. I wanted to do more to help families, but I didn't know what it was. And so a few years ago, friends of ours were dealing with some pretty significant challenges with their, at the time, 15-year-old daughter. And as you said, my girlfriend was in tears and she'd gone everywhere that she could think to go. And she says to me, "I just wish I had other parents to talk to." What she really meant was, "I wish I had other parents to talk to who weren't going to judge me for the not so brilliant things that my 15-year-old kid is doing, and wish that I could actually get support, moral support and also professional support." So that was the genesis. Launched a Facebook group, and a few years later, we're coming up on 1,500 members in the group. We've got folks from around the world. We have some really cool conversations in the group. We've got a network of professionals, and we're just kind of off to the races now.
That's fantastic. What sort of services do your network providers provide to the group and the members?
Sure. We have an array of professionals at this point. We have folks who can support on the academic side, like myself with SAT and ACT, college admissions, some academic support as well. We have parenting coaches. One of our professionals, actually our first professional, is a family transformation specialist. She realized that in her own world with her own kids, she wasn't passing on some healthy patterns of behavior. And so has come to a point that she helps moms in particular stop the cycle of freakouts and tantrums and whatnot on both ends, both the parent and the kid end. So we have parent coaches. We have teen life coaches who work with folks in person, teenagers in person or virtually, especially as we've come through the pandemic. We know that we're in a youth mental health crisis, and sometimes kids don't necessarily need a therapist, but they need a mentor, or they need somebody else to help them with self-esteem or coping mechanisms or emotional awareness. We've got an array of coaches, and we're expanding into legal support, professionals who are attorneys in various states, insurance providers. The way I look at it is, anyone that in the old days you would have written a check to help your family. Those are the folks who are in our network.
No, that's tremendous. And it's got to feel great to put together something like this, right?
It's fulfilling because there's so many things that families navigate where they feel alone. And especially in the teenager world with the things that teens do, they just do, you know, but there's so much shame around it. You know, nobody goes out to like the local word of mouth group and is like, hey, my kid just got arrested. So who's your recommendation for a criminal defense attorney? There's so much of that around it. Or I saw a post on Facebook the other day, a mom saying, I can't believe I have to ask this, but I need help finding substance abuse treatment facilities for my kid. And I commented, I was like, why, like, don't judge yourself for that. Like, your kid needs help. You're doing the right thing and helping. And so a lot of what I see our purpose is to dismantle the stigma around getting help. Who cares what kind of help you need? Get the help you need. So it's definitely fulfilling to know that we're hopefully positively impacting families.
Absolutely. And it's so needed, especially when you're by yourself, or you're afraid to tell your family and friends that you're struggling with this kind of stuff. You know, I have two teen boys. They've had their share of issues around some of the things you mentioned. And, you know, I've found a really good support group, and I'm really starting to engage in your group. I enjoy it because I think it's really positive that we can talk with each other without that judgment. So you went from doing college test prep to starting this organization. So that's a big challenge. What are some of the new learnings and personal growth things that you had to overcome in order to make this happen for you?
Oh man, if I had a nickel for every time another prospective entrepreneur asked me that question, I would be a rich, rich, rich woman. I think the biggest lesson that I've learned is that I really need to step into my own personal development and my own growth. Entrepreneurship is personal development on the most fantastic steroids you've ever experienced. It will shine a light on any weakness I don't want to say weakness, on any chink in the armor, as it were. It's, you know, and it feels that much more grandiose, if you will, you know, and stepping into, hey, I need to grow. If I don't grow, my business isn't going to grow. That's the first thing. And I think probably the next lesson that came out of it is, you know, I'd like to think I'm a reasonably humble human being. I share my clients' successes, yes, because I help them achieve them, but they're really the client's successes because they're the ones who have to do the work. And getting to a point that I own that I am the face of my business and that I have to be public. And no, it's not arrogant to share pictures of myself and put pictures out and to talk about the work I'm doing. The fact of the matter is people aren't going to just magically know that I do what I'm doing if I don't tell them and if I don't put a face with the name, especially because what we're creating is kind of different than a lot of other organizations or groups out there. And getting okay with the fact that I have to be public and I've got to put myself out there. And it's not, I had to get over the idea that that was egotistical because it's not. It's relating with people. People don't relate with words the way they relate with individuals or humans. Like even podcasts like this 2 years ago, nope, no, thank you. Wasn't interested. Now I'm like, hey, here I am. Let's talk. What do you want to know?
I think we've all had to grow in the last 2 years with all the changes. I never Indeed. Thought I'd be hosting a podcast or even be guest on podcasts. Mm-hmm. My work was always going to be in person on site. So we've had to make those challenges. It's interesting you say about social media. I actually had one of my followers send me a message and saying that I had too many personal pictures and it was coming across as narcissistic. But I just keep doing what I'm doing because I get so many other messages, right? So we have to be in our authentic self. And if we're coming from a place of authenticity, it doesn't matter what other people say because you're going to attract some followers and you're not going to attract followers to your business, right? Because that's really the goal of being on social media is to attract people to the services that you provide. Yep. So what are some of the things that you do to balance your mental health and what are some of the challenges that you've had to overcome and how did you do that?
Oh, goodness. Probably the biggest challenge, especially in the last few years with the pandemic and such, has been managing my workaholic tendencies. You know, when the rest of the world feels like it's out of control, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who can relate to that feeling as the world kind of felt like it was exploding around us, you know, our normal changed very quickly. I dove into work and it was my escape and it was the one thing at the time that I felt like I could control. I say that because it was not the healthiest approach. And so stepping back and recognizing, hey, you know what? I need time with my husband. I need time with my dad and his new wife, or with my dogs, or just by myself, and putting boundaries in place and sticking to them. In terms of what do I do for mental health? I've recently gotten into painting. I enjoy time with my dogs. You know, my husband and I will go grab a dinner once a week now that we can again. You know, for a while we couldn't. And really it was just anything to get the heck out of the house, because especially working from home, like these four walls around me are all I see. It doesn't, you know, the scenery doesn't change much. And that can be inducing of mental challenges in and of itself. So just getting out and recognizing that I needed it was the hardest part.
That's key, is figuring out what gets you recharges your batteries from the challenges of each and every day. You have to figure those things out.
Indeed.
And for you as being a go-getter and definitely like going to work, right? And that can become an addiction for me sometimes too, right? Because you just want to like go all in. How do you let go of the need for controlling everything and hiring the right team to support you?
Honestly, that has been not just an issue for me in my business. Like that's just my personality. I like to say that I'm a recovering type A. It's been an ongoing process. I think I can say that there's three things that have happened in the last 3 years that really kind of adjusted my perspective. The first one was my mom's passing. You know, I think anytime you lose someone that you're close to, it makes you kind of step back and wonder. The second was the pandemic. Like I said, you know, the world exploded, as I like to say it. And you realize just how much you're not in control of. You know, there's there's only so much that you can control. Really, truly, the only thing you can is yourself and how you choose to show up every day. And then the third was a very, very dear friend of mine lost her husband very unexpectedly several months into the pandemic as well. And so with all three of those happening within about a year and a half's perspective, or a year and a half's time frame rather, it really gave me kind of like a 1, 2, 3 smack upside the head about what I can control and what I can't. And it personally, it pushed me into more of my own spiritual exploration and my own belief systems and going, hey, what is within my control and what's not. And at this point, I very much take a perspective of like, okay, if this doesn't get done exactly the way that I would have, what's the impact going to be? And if it's going to be a significant impact, then I speak up and say something. If it's just a matter of like, who cares what direction the towels are folded? You know, if my husband folds towels and puts them away and he does them differently than me, I don't care. Like it's done. You know, it's like, nobody's right. Going to die. And at the end of the day, you know what, how they sit in the pantry or in the linen closet really doesn't matter. Like the fact that they're there and I didn't have to put them there is beautiful.
That's right. So many people fight over the little things because they get caught up in it. I think, the pandemic was a wake up call for many of us to really sit back and look at what are our priorities? You know, what can we focus on? I actually wrote a course during COVID, resolving fears in uncertain times, which, you know, you can relate to anything, whether it's the pandemic or whether you're having a terminal illness in the family or dealing with something that kind of throws the world upside down. And basically it's getting back to your beliefs. What do you believe in? You know, what are your values and what really gives you the strength to move forward on a day-to-day basis during those times?
And that's also something that I talk with a lot of families about and a lot of parents about, you know, when their kiddo shows up in life in some fashion differently than the parent or the grandparent expected, whether it's because they choose not to go to college or they end up in, you know, navigating substance abuse or their sexuality is other than what the parents would have expected. A lot of our conversations come back to what is within your control, what is not within your control, and what's the end game. For most families, it's I want my child, my niece, my nephew, my grandkid to grow into a happy, thriving adult. And so then it's those conversations with the adult, with the teen going, okay, how do we get there? what is it that you're saying or doing or your actions or engagement that is actually inhibiting that, and taking a step back and going, all right, well, this isn't what I had envisioned. Let's acknowledge that there's a grief process, that it wasn't what you envisioned, because it's definitely hard for parents to adjust those perspectives, or grandparents or whomever, and then go, okay, how do we look at that end goal? How do we take the long game? And how do we support the teenager in coming into their fully developed self, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and such, in a way that supports them? So it's a key component.
I was about to say, Marisa, we're running out of time, but this was such a great interview for sure.
Thank you.
And just to wrap that up, you probably have not just the parents, but you do have extended family as members in your group, right? I mean, it would make 100% sense that they would.
Absolutely.
Okay. So as we wrap this up, what advice would you give to other parents who are kind of struggling and you know, to actually have the courage to come out and reach out for help with you?
You know, it's the kind of thing that I've said to my SAT, ACT kids for 20 some odd years. The only stupid question is the one you don't ask. And you can't help by staying in a cocoon and staying isolated. Connection is the key to, I believe that connection is the key to everything that ails our society. And sometimes you've got to step out and be vulnerable and acknowledge that you don't know all the information or you don't know all the answers. And that's okay, because insider's tip, none of us does. None of us has all the answers. It's okay.
We're all winging it. I used to tell my kids when they were younger, no one ever gave me a book on how to be the perfect parent. Like, I'm doing the best I can.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Clarissa. It's been great to have you on the show. Where can people find you?
They can find us on Facebook. They can search for The Parent Tween Connection, and there's one T in there, or they can search for us online as well, parenttweenconnection.com. Or they're absolutely always welcome to reach out to me and friend me on Facebook or connect with me on LinkedIn. I am Clarissa Steinbach Constantine on both platforms.
Terrific. Thanks so much. It's been awesome having you on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Women CEO in Reflection. To reach out to one of our guests, their contact is in the description of the show. Do you want a total mindset transformation? Apply to Mindset Warrior, The Art of Intentional Thinking, my personal coaching bootcamp at iamamindsetwarrior.com, and schedule your call with me today. Thank you.